October 12, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 22, Ayah 2, pregnant woman drops her load. The Quran Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one indifferent to the other's needs. So you know the mother and the father, they used to watch over the development of our personalities because at that time the influence was strong. But when the church abdicated and stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over the role, then the parents got away from that. And they stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. And all of a sudden, now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. The parent has been neglecting its responsibilities all of those summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening parent life. The Quran tells us that day was to come. It's plainly written in the Quran that the day was going to come, the child was going to punch the parent, parental neglect. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm saying, but it means just that. That parent was going to turn their minds away from the true reality and were going to give their lives to the fleeting things. And the failure to meet most their obligations was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and blind sensitivity where each person goes after what satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. Parents have stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. All of a sudden now the child is coming with a bat. Knife attacks parents. That parent has been neglecting its responsibilities for all these summers, springs, winters. People have turned their minds from the reality and given themselves to the life of fleeting things. Some people striving for personality fulfillment. And they just soak up any personality expression that comes around them. They're not crazy. That wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious content that fulfilled the personality needs in their lives. People who live outside of a life content that structures their life and keeps before them certain principles, they are really cut off from life so they don't have any life of their own. Their life is subject to circumstances. Whether expressions come in today, you just become a vessel for anybody to come and drop something in and characterize. Black and Africans have no stable content personality. If you want to describe personalities of blacks in the world, it's emotional and characteristic. So this is not to discredit us. Emotionalism will not allow you to come into what is called achieved personality. So we take on a accused personality. It just forms as natural addiction. There was no plan, no effort to govern or direct the formation of that personality. It just happened under a natural influence. Pop artists can bring out a song that will give us new personality, whole black people. The African also is given to that kind of susceptibility, more so than other races. So when we are going to become a personality true to ourselves, get our life on the primitive level back, copy the baboon dog, copy the mannerism or social traits of animals, like all other primitive societies did until they grew out of that. The Caucasian came amongst them, influenced him, and he copied the Caucasian. Here in this late date, we can do no more than absorb expressions, copy, mimic, imitate. You can't act out of your intelligence, only absorb expressions. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 1 to 11, 91 and 9, Bukhari, Volume 8, 453, Prophet, reach the contentment of the soul. So if we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. So this doesn't mean that you're going to be rich if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It's not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family, himself, may land him in jail or get him killed. If I get all the money in the world and I'm in my hell mentally, then I'm in my soul, I'm not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 6, marriage. As a result of these violent clashes, Muslims had many captives amongst them. Captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Islam. Though they were raised as pagans, as believers in idol worship, the Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they desired to marry a Muslim man. Mind, thought, and fluid. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 4 and 5, speak in tongues. Clay man from means you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he made and how we get out of that original make, and he shows us again how to get back into it. He says he begins your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is a manageable material. Clay is an agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material, when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were informed you had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says the angel said, "Oh God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us." So Iblis from fire, by my faculties burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, "I refuse to bow, God. I am better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created me from black mud fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire." He was created from something like fire, meaning, come into my form by rational activities. I have been burning my faculty, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and firing and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up with it the hard way. Now, God, you want me to bow down to something or somebody that just because they are morally right, just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil and the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all these other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me? So this thing that you're going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and et cetera. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinky mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. For Allah's breath is seen, his breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, woo, blowing. And man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet prayers and the peace be upon him through his divine science in creation that was his birth. God's man says, I used to be stinky mud fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state, has turned into a clear morality. So you still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down. Because God has ordered, and he says, from liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Tefli is baby. Tefli is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed a semen drop, thick water, the germ of life from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from a thick watery semen drop, nusafatin or nusatin. When we look at that semen drop, it looks foggy, but pretty clear. So we can see specks are in it. So the world has taught us to look at this as filth. Don't even think semen drops, this is filthy. Sinful, but God says, look, you are talking about a stage in your development. So that is not the first. In fact, it is the second up the ladder. So the law that I accept was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with, and had nothing but the nature that God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is tefla. Baby in Arabic is tefla. The two words have the same basic letters, T-S-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it the first, it meant I've created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. you could do no more than just accept and come into form. So that is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. We take that clay and we make any shape we want out of it. Clay in dictation is symbolic of reminder. We can make it soft, which means soft in the society, and somebody speaks politeness, and we can make it hard and somebody speaks to it, and it asks, who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay that can come, they can come with a hammer and it leaves an indentation. They didn't break it up. He remembered that indentation is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indentations all over you. That hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down, and you have to throw that clay out. What you're going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. So sperm is like water, but cloudy, represents the world's mind. Quran says, then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind, that was clear gets cloudy. Now a mind has been formed. First we were dealing with nature and the mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do not have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But once mind starts to form in them, then you start having problems because you put the wrong thing in their minds. So their minds are kind of foggy. I gave them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to grow into the light. So they will appreciate it. Then to grow into the light, so they will appreciate it. But I never blocked out all the light. I just, a few areas foggy. So when you take over their mind, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick water, or a little life germ from the male body that's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he puts it, lodged it in a place of rest, place of rest. It is in its mother's care. When does the baby rest? He or she rests when it is in the mother's arms. So God gives that semen drop to mama. But we think he is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ of the man to the womb of the woman. So we think it means just reading it literally, that the womb of the woman, but it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, that child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. He by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this nature, it is going to be developed to a high state. Cloud of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a cloud of blood. Now we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from the semen drop. Science tells us that the drop becomes a clot of blood, not a clot of blood as such, but his mind is growing now and it is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no objects in his mind. It was just a little fogginess. the absence of knowledge, but his mind was pure like water, clear. But then with his mother, as he says, there in that place of rest, as he stays in that place of rest, it begins to have its own ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called a life. So human life is not the physical body life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child, and the mind has brought to birth a human mind in that child. Before the child received that knowledge of human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do not care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother, its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles and has no teeth, but shows us those gums. Sometimes this smile just can't hardly stop smiling. What he learns from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind, and loving. He did not make it sinful. But we begin to feed our crazy, warped, distorted, lying, false ideas, and then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little while, but you are going to be better off, I assure you, will be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power? Just sit here and listen, and you will have power. Blood, life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though the life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran, after the clot of blood, after we have taken an idea from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that the life of the body, the Bible says, blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. When your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brainwave test, ECG, and if they don't see any signs of activity in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. So we're unlike talking about the physical blood God is using. So these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is promoting us to. And it is divine because these things speak perfectly to the higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be and show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, that these things speak perfectly the reality that are in your life. John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. Word took on flesh, means divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? You're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion imperial knowledge? Can religion be legally substantiated? You fool, you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard of or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. It is all logic. Yours is spastic logic. The Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word. Word is Logos. Logos is from the Word, it says, then the word took on flesh, and the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into, took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on problems, it means I challenge the problem. I'm going to solve it, try to anyway. If I take on the responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make growth. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Tesla, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the Word has taken on flesh. It means that God in divine truth, in his message, as the word of real truth, real logic. Fetus lump means the mind's been given thoughts of somebody else. So he comes into our flesh and begins bringing our minds up to a high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. What is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is a clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? We mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop. Been put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's charge. Now the clot of blood is formed, meaning the idea of human society, the life out of our bodies, our minds, is fed into that new child, and giving him the same blood, same life. Now, after that, God says he then makes a fetus lump. And science tells us this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. The fetus lump, what is it referring to? Now, fetus lump here means here that the mind has been given thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come into our minds, they are just going through the mind. But after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It is not blood anymore as clot or a thought that is just in the body. But it is a thought now that is just in the body, but it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. I come into me now. I begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me, so now I speak like you speak in tongues. Bones building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. So bone means law, but this is not enough. God says out of the first fetus lump, bones, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. Have your mind and be formed into a clot of flesh. Not blood that you can just easily wipe the blood up. Blood clot, but if the clot, you can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. The thought had been put into the child so long, you can't take them out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says, then the flesh bones to grow. And this is true too in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. The flesh forms, then bones in the flesh. So what does that mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a legal argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul said there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. So the bones come in, and it means, now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition. And that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me Teflon, a baby that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be like right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have become bones now. Another meaning of bones in Scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of the logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things. You call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society. But the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. That is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some say, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So he means, I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given from form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind. It is not thought. The thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws. But flesh is something that has taken form. So my edifice ability, pardon me, my edifying ability or my logic or reasoning holds up my knowledge. So flesh means my knowledge. My flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge. Means that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh, logic or rational argument has formed in my knowledge. So the thought comes together, seasons and matures to make knowledge. So you see from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge, we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bones for the flesh that uphold my knowledge. I say, Thuma kalikin akhira. Thuma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or recreated like this and have come into bones where we think we know everything, I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lumps will not fall down. I have bones in my lumps. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God says, than a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead, you have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He says, he who formed you in the first time is more powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form societies naturally before this world went crazy and have all of these weird and human ideas? He knows how it is supposed to be populated and built up. He knows how the edifice or edifying is to produce the edifice. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glass. So the prophet has taken on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. So the morals are not like water. That needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. It has already taken itself the discipline. So if there is glass, it holds that shape, and nothing takes it out unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described. Nur al-glass, pure, refined, clear glass, and shows clearly the light. His character is no more like water needed. Constant work on it to keep it right. It constantly holds it in check. His morals had become like glass fixed as God wanted them to be. So the prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. The Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of the sky and the earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46, prophet as a lamp, the Jirajin Magnirin, Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So light, John 9:5, Jesus, light of the world, as long as I am in the world. So we have heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth. And we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for aiding that light, for aiding the transmission of that light to those that it is meant for. So just as the lamp sits in the niche, and the niche itself helps distribute the light or to diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflector of what God has given of his light. If his character is right, his character will help reflect. Blessed tree, not east nor west, is universal knowledge. So where is this tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree neither east nor west. A blessed tree neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? No. It's a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. His knowledge is universal. It is not limited to race or to be a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. So his knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignores material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual. Where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree, blessed by God, of that tree is the essential of substance, oil, essential of the tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. So the Shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt, for the light. They went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east and not in the west. So West Africa. East is Asia. So what is Africa? East is Asia. Mecca is mid-east. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in a symbolic way, Mecca represents that is not east nor west, but the light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge content over his whole creation, the knowledge is universal. So Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay, so Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am the light in the world, meaning that when I die, I'm not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran, a parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No. A parable of God's light is creation itself. God's light is conscious morals of prophets. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience, the moral, high moral refinement of the prophet himself. So the glass, it doesn't reveal something, hide something, and reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what's behind it. The prophet conscious, and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him can come out and reflect perfectly as received it. So his very character was an aid for the diffusion or message of knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So when we speak of the nature of the inner person, the inner being, or the mind, the personality, the consciousness, the moral makeup of the person, we speak of that nature. We call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he has bad character, you see? But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, had the best nature. He had been made right, so right that his nature became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscious, his very nature was as clear as glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. This is the Lord of God. Pardon me, this is the light of God. And a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them. And he himself has become a turn, so turned, so finely turned, to the will of God and to God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as through glass, clear glass, is being it to the person. And the people as a niche receives it and they diffuse it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commands that he is no obstruction. That's no part of his being is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance or the light of God that comes to him as a messenger. So this is beautiful signs of that light. So the light without the glasses doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a clear glass about the light diffuses nicely. And the heat is contained in the glass. So the light and the heat are diffused evenly because the glass, so it's necessary for us to have the right conscience, conscious character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get burned. But if there is a glass, they will stick their hand and hit the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet befitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. The knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. So all refers to knowledge. So the all itself, without the fire, appears to have light, referring to the knowledge. This is the knowledge. So the knowledge is oil. And that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clear burning. Not a lot of black smoke, dust, choking stuff, cleaning, clear burning. Oil burns clear. No epitomes in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception, oil being clear. Means that God revealed it will show up, put olive oil in a cup of olive, in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olives in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and the light, the olives, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. If it's not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter in it, it will show up in the oil. So gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. There is darkness, the light, the oil has ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden by darkness. So this is the way that God light is. The purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us tree, fruit, the mite, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth, the essence of truth. True knowledge strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us the universal light or one universal knowledge. So matter, energy, so this matter, what is it? What is the fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth. And the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, certain charges. So when we begin to strip this fruit down eventually, we make the fruit transparent. Eventually, we will make that fruit transparent. We will reduce that fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible, isn't it? So what is the matter? Matter is energy. Energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator, or lowest state of pure state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We will have energy. So God is a light, like transparent, meaning that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. With God's knowledge, you can understand it. The gross matter, you can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence. The essence is of transparency. You can move that, the veil of a 175-pound man, and see his essence or transparency. You can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. So fire is understanding. So the fire is the understanding, the knowledge we get out of the knowledge. And you can't get that without applying your intelligence. When you apply your intelligence, then there is a fraction in activity between what you're studying, and that activity helps bring light to your own mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. There is a space between the oil and the fire. So the fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning that you can influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come to touch it with it. So you must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of influencing that knowledge, and that space that keeps you out of form influencing that knowledge. Keeps the knowledge right, and it keeps you right. It keeps you human. It keeps the knowledge divine. But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. That's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light. If we apply our intelligence, then there will become a flame. A flame is fed by the oil. The activity of our own intelligence is fed by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. We must get it from a distance. What is that distance? We may call it many things, but what distance represents in one word is faith. Faith. Faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate that faith, then you come into the fire, and baby, it will burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what he has been revealed, you don't come into that fire to influence it. That is, pardon me, you don't come into the oil, not the fire. You don't bring your own intelligent activity in the oil to influence the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. So Quran Surah 2, Ayat 79. Change scripture. So the disbelievers, they change the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they change the book. They change the oil, and the oil loses its original value. And then it can't produce the good flame for the word. Yes, this is the parable of God's light, Nietzsche. So the Nietzsche itself also works to cast the light in the room. It helps spread throughout the room. The glass reflects the light, helps throw out. So here we have light, and it is receiving help to be spread evenly throughout the room. So this niche helps. The glass helps. And the people, as the niche receives it, and they diffuses it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 6, Allah made night and day to follow each other. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 28, double portion of mercy. Through King 29, double portion of mercy, of spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he made the night and the day to follow each other in succession. That is in the Quran. The expression darkness is in quotation refers to concrete objects. In the long trial of history, man relies upon his intelligence while being under the fear or induced in him by objects in the universe. Many other figures in the composition of the whole of the world, including man himself, has been worshipped mystically by, as God. So the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala been worshipped mystically as God. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created correct existence created human brains. So the human heart for his mercy, freedom from the dominance of the concrete world is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. It is one of the two divine mercies given and promised to us in the Holy Scripture. A second statement, we are limited here in giving in these worlds, in these words, pardon me. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. So emotion, mind like leaf floating. The Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 23. Deeds like floating dust, and we shall turn to whatever deeds they did in this life, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. So your mind is like a floating leaf in the wind. Whatever pushes you emotionally decides where you will be. You come to this masjid, and you get an emotional push. And it pushes you for a while. But as soon as you run into something else, another wind pushes you. And we find that you are far away from where you were when we left you because you gave yourself to emotional forces, emotional influences. You don't have any good rational sense. You don't have any rational concepts, any rational ideas. And that's ruling in your life. You need a logical principle ruling in your life to survive in this world. No one cares about you but Allah. And if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for myself, giving myself completely to Allah, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like you, caught in the wind of the influence in this society. Human life proper with morals. Human life prospers with morals. So the human life can't prosper without moral vision. If you want to be successful in the business world, don't you have to have some object, moral goals to reach for? Don't you have to have something, some business vision to be successful, maturely, to be successful in the business world? We are basically, by human description, we are moral beings. Moral creatures. You can be as wrong as you want to be. That doesn't mean that that's your nature. Your nature is not to be wrong. Your nature is to be right. And you are going against the grains when you are being wrong. None of us can be angels, perfect, without any defects, without flaws, without any sin. Your imam sin. I commit sin. I'm not an angel. I'm not a perfect being. But my path is not towards sin. My path is towards Allah. And when I sin, it is because I have a weakness, because of mistake being, because of ignorance on my part, and because I am that way. Allah loves me, and he will hurt me He would trip me up. He will let me know that I went wrong because he knows I can be corrected. And when I know I've gone wrong, I say, oh, Allah, forgive me for my mistakes. Forgive me for that ignorance. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for that selflessness on my part. Forgive me for that. Oh, Allah, I want to obey you. And Allah accepts the prayers of forgiveness, no matter where it comes from. The greatest sinner on this earth prays sincerely for forgiveness. Allah accepts that prayer, and then Allah gives you help. He gives you help. I don't have the high credentials of a high-class people of this world. This is the institutional credentials. I don't have any credentials from any institution. No. Great schools have given me any credentials. Some people think I went to Al-Azhar, Egypt, to school. I never went there to school. I'm a product of your school. Your children go to Clara Muhammad School. That's the school I went to, except for 3 hours credit in English. And a couple of courses, about 6 hours, a couple of other courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses. I have not schooling outside of this school. Simple fact of your life, that if you understand them and respect them and live by them, you can be successful, not only you, but this nation. Would hear what I'm saying, it could come back to its good nature. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah. Inshallah only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise Maraj Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.